Chapter 2. Before your dog comes home, everything you need to prepare for your pet's arrival. Few things are as excited as bringing a new dog home. However, it's also natural to feel overwhelmed in the first few weeks or even months. Your dog has a lot to learn and you have a lot to teach. One way to ease your pet's homecoming is by getting ready before her arrival, which is exactly what this chapter will help you do. You wouldn't bring a baby home without having diapers, a car seat, bottles, and clothing on hand, right? You'd possibly have also painted the nursery and set up the crib, and you'd likely have a pediatrician's number taped to your fridge or added to your phone. Well, it's important to think much the same way about a dog. That way, when she first pads through your front door, you can relax knowing your house is safe and stocked with everything you may need to care for her. You'll also have some of the logistics worked out. In turn, your dog will adapt faster to her new surroundings as she realizes that she's now in a place where she'll be loved and protected. Shopping list. What to buy for your new dog. By stocking up on some essentials before your dog arrives, you'll help make sure she stays healthy and happy as she eases into her new home. Here are some essentials you'll want to get, other than paper towels, of course. Dog crate. The biggest mistake new pet parents sometimes make is not sufficiently controlling the environment of their new dog. A dog crate can be a convenient way to help you do just that for short periods. Most dogs love it, provided you introduce it correctly and make the crate an enjoyable place to be. Crates not only provide dogs with a sense of safety, but also help keep them secure when you're out of the house or too occupied to watch them. Another bonus? Dogs don't like to soil where they sleep, so crates help greatly with house training. Durable plastic crates are easy to clean and perfect for traveling. Wire crates are another option. They offer more ventilation and a full view, and you can cover them with a towel at night to create a cozier atmosphere. Look for a crate that's easy to open and close and large enough that your dog can stand up and turn around in it easily. If your crate is much larger than that, a dog may initially soil one end, but not the other until she realizes that her whole crate is her bedroom. Just keep in mind that when it comes to the size of a crate, too big is always better than too small. You might also consider getting an oversized crate with an adjustable divider panel so you can slowly expand the room your dog has as she grows and also begins to understand that she shouldn't do her business in the crate. See chapters 3 and 5 for more information on crate training. Baby gate and puppy playpen. A gate and playpen can come in handy and assist you with the supervision process. A gate prevents your dog from entering rooms you don't want her to go into, while a playpen allows her to run around and play in a confined area. Gates are also essential for blocking staircases. Dogs can fall downstairs and wind up with serious injuries. Keep one until your dog is at least 6 months old and can navigate the stairs on her own. A gate and playpen are also great options if you don't want to use a crate for any reason. When choosing a gate, find one that's durable, made of a material other than wood. Make sure no openings on the gate are large enough for the dog to stick her head through. She can wind up getting stuck or strangled. As for a playpen, make sure that it's sturdy and that your dog can't chew through it or climb out of it. Bowls. Your dog will need at least one bowl for food and one for water. Get a few extras so that you can wash them every day and easily swap out a dirty water bowl for a clean one. Stainless steel is your best bet because it's durable and won't chip. Heavy ceramic is another option, but make sure it doesn't contain lead, which can be toxic to your dog. Avoid anything with dyes and stay away from plastic if possible. Some dogs are allergic to it. Others like to chew on the plastic, and such bowls can splinter off into tiny pieces that your dog might swallow. Also, if you have a dog with long ears, such as hounds and spaniels, look for bowls that are specially tapered so her ears don't get wet or dirty while she eats. Food. Find out what your dog has been eating at the place where you found her and buy a small bag of that food. Suddenly switching from one food to another can cause diarrhea, just what you need with a dog who isn't house trained yet. Chapter 3 addresses how to switch food when you're ready. Chapter 8 helps you pick the best food for your pet. Identification. If your dog were to run away and get lost, an ID tag that hooks onto your dog's collar can be the key to reuniting with her. It's up to you what the tag says. At least include your phone number, so if someone finds your dog, they can contact you. Some people opt to also include their name, address, their dog's name, and other identifying details. A collar or harness. Your dog will need a collar right away to hold her ID tag and eventually her rabies tag. At first, just pick up a simple adjustable nylon or leather collar that buckles together. Save the receipt in case it doesn't fit. It shouldn't be too tight, but it also shouldn't be so loose that it'll slip right off. You should be able to slip only 2 fingers under the collar. Take the collar off when your dog is in her crate. She may scratch at it until she gets used to it, and her foot could easily get stuck in it. The collar itself can also get stuck on the crate, creating a choking risk. While a collar is essential for your dog's ID tags, a harness is also great for most dogs for general control, safety, and training, especially for puppies 8 months and younger, small breeds, those with short noses, such as pugs and boxers, and those with thin necks, such as greyhounds. Choose one that's easy to get on and off. Another consideration, if your dog is a very young puppy or a tiny breed, such as a Yorkie or a Maltese, you might want to put a small bell on her collar so people can hear her when she's approaching and avoid stepping on her. Leashes. You'll need a leash not only to walk your dog, but possibly also to keep her tethered to you during training. For the initial leash, choose one that's 4 to 6 feet long. I suggest nylon because they're the least expensive and you can tie them to a belt loop. And they are also the easiest to wash, though leather and rope are fine too. Retractable leashes are another option some people like, particularly to give their dogs some room to roam and sniff around while also maintaining control of their environment. However, when taking your dog on proper walks or in public, refrain from using a retractable leash until she's well trained. You'll also need a longer lead leash, 20 to 30 feet, for training. Grooming tools. It's your responsibility to keep your dog clean, but which tools you need depends on her breed or combination of breeds and whether or not you plan to hire a groomer or do it yourself. At first, at least make sure you have a good bristle brush to keep your dog's coat tangle-free. Pick up shampoo, nail trimmers, cotton balls, an ear cleaner, a toothbrush, and toothpaste. For more information on grooming supplies, see Chapter 8. Toys. Bouncy balls, stuffed plush elephants, flying discs, and tug toys. The dog toys available on the market these days would give Toys R Us a run for its money. Don't go overboard. Buy a few different types and see what your dog's preferences are. Choose toys that are durable, size appropriate, and a little bigger than you think you need. For instance, choose a ball that will fit in your dog's mouth, but one she can't swallow. Many dogs, especially puppies, have a strong urge to chew. Stick with hard rubber toys that help satisfy this need. Also, if you notice your pet tearing her squeaky rabbit to shreds or eating the plastic eyes off of it, or a toy rope starts to fray, then remove it immediately. If your dog is an aggressive chewer, choose toys that are indestructible, ultra-durable, or something similar. Chemical deodorizer. When you're house training, your dog is going to have accidents in the house. It's a normal part of the process. Of course, you're going to clean up any mess right away, but your dog's keen sense of smell will detect the urine or feces odor for a long time, even when you can't. This, in turn, can lead her to continue marking the same spot repeatedly, as at first, dogs are likely to go to the same spot or two to do their business. To remove the odor, clean the soiled spot with an enzyme-based chemical deodorizer you can find in pet supply stores or some grocery stores. Poop bags or scooper. Many areas require by law that people pick up their dog's poop, and even if your city or neighborhood doesn't, do it anyway. Leaving a mess on the street is not only unneighborly, it's also dangerous. It can cause the spread of parasites, and the feces can wash into local water sources and contaminate it. Stock up on plastic bags or pick up some waste bags at your pet supply store along with a dispenser that attaches to your dog's leash. After your dog goes potty, put the bag over your hand, grab the poop, and then turn the bag inside out and tie it closed. When you get home, dispose of it in your trash. Another option, a pooper scooper, a device designed to pick up dog poop, handy for cleaning up your yard. Treats. Treats can be an essential training tool or just a nice way to give your dog a little something special. I recommend having two main types of treats for training. The first is high-quality soft dog treats, commonly known as training treats, that you can store at room temperature and easily access to reward your dog spontaneously when she does something you like. However, for primary training sessions, you'll want to get your dog excited and motivated for training, so the key is to choose a treat that she really loves. I always include tiny pieces of boiled chicken or another real meat as a treat. Yes, I'm talking about the same stuff we humans eat. In general, make sure your training treats are low in fat and sodium and made in America. Also, while I don't advise over-treating your dog with low-quality commercial dog treats just because, the occasional traditional dog biscuit is fine. Don't feed your dog pet jerky treats. Since 2007, the Food and Drug Administration has received thousands of reports of pets becoming sick or even dying after eating jerky treats. Most of these treats were made in China, but not all treat packaging indicates where they were made. Just avoid them. In fact, make it a general rule to avoid any pet food or treats from China for the time being. Bones and rawhides. You'll likely want to have at least a bone or two on hand to help satisfy your dog's chewing urge, which is particularly strong for puppies as their teeth come in. Think big. Always choose a bone that your dog can't possibly choke on. If you want to give your dog rawhides, buy the ones that are compressed and don't have a twist on the end. Dogs can unwind these, which can lead to a choking hazard. Once your dog has consumed half the rawhide, replace it. And if you notice that your dog is going through rawhides very quickly, find something else for her to chew. Another favorite option, 100% naturally shed deer antlers, which can last an extremely long time, clean teeth, and don't stain, splinter, or chip. Other hard bones that don't splinter may be good options too. Bedding. You'll have dozens of dog beds to choose from if and when you decide to purchase one for your pet. Everything from your basic donut beds to luxury couches, orthopedic cushions, and even heated beds. But don't invest in a pricey bed right off the bat. Wait until your dog is done house training. Also, during their first several months or even longer, many dogs, even some adult dogs, will chew up their new bed. In the meantime, you can make your dog's crate extra cozy with a simple mat or old blankets or towels, as long as she doesn't chew them. Dog proofing. Your dog, particularly if she's a puppy, is like a curious toddler. She's going to want to explore everything in her new home, and she'll completely depend on you to stay safe. The best way to do that is to constantly supervise her, keep her on a leash next to you when you're home, and put her in a crate or other secure area when you can't keep an eye on her. However, eventually your dog may explore more of your house on her own, especially during those times when you accidentally drop your guard. It's important to remember that she may take anything into her mouth, and it's your job to make sure she doesn't have access to things that can hurt her, from Lego pieces to food scraps. Crouch down and try to view the home from your dog's eyes. Remove or secure anything she might chew on, eat, or otherwise destroy with her inquisitive mouth. Dogs are craftier and smarter than most people imagine, so be thorough. Here's what to consider. Electrical cords. If a dog bites an electrical cord while it's plugged in, it not only will shock her, but also can cause severe electrical burns on the corners of her mouth. Depending on the voltage, it could even electrocute her. Make sure all cords are out of your dog's reach or unplug them until you need them. Her life might depend on it. Food. Your dog will make it her job to find any food in the house and eat it, and she won't discriminate, whether it's a few crumbs that fell on the floor or leftovers in the garbage. To her, it's a 4-star meal. The scary part is that many common human foods can cause symptoms ranging from vomiting and diarrhea to seizures and death. According to the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, ASPCA, some of the foods most dangerous to dogs include chocolate, the darker the more dangerous, avocado, particularly the pit, coffee, alcohol, macadamia nuts, grapes, raisins, yeast dough, moldy foods, xylitol, an artificial sweetener used in sugar-free products like gum, onions, and garlic. Chicken bones can choke them. Make sure you put all foods in cabinets or containers that your pet can't access and secure your kitchen garbage pail. Also, remember that your dog is resourceful. Just because she can't jump from the floor onto your kitchen table to reach a fruit bowl, that doesn't mean she won't use a nearby chair as a step stool. Common household products. Put a latch on any cabinets that contain cleaning products such as bleach and laundry detergent, soaps, shampoos, insecticides, rat poison, paint, paint thinners, pool chemicals, or antifreeze. Don't keep any loose change lying around. Pennies made in 1983 or later contain zinc, which is toxic to dogs. Place medication on high shelves, out of reach, and if you drop a pill, make sure you find it. If your dog eats just one, say ibuprofen, it can shut down her liver and kidneys. Also, childproof bottles are not puppy-proof. Dogs can chew right through them. Houseplants and flowers. Many common plants are toxic for dogs. ASPCA includes detailed information about which ones are safe and which ones aren't at ASPCA.org. Some of the common ones you should keep away from your dog include azaleas, oleanders, certain varieties of lilies, sago palm, tulips, daffodils, amaryllis, and chrysanthemums. Consider all plants toxic until you learn otherwise, and make sure your dog can't gain access to any of them. Toilet bowls. Keep the lids of your toilet bowl shut at all times. Not only might dogs drink toxic cleaning chemicals in the bowl, but they can also drown if they fall in. Clothing. Check that your laundry baskets are shut tight and that your dog doesn't have access to your clothing, towels, or shoes. The fabric, buttons, or strings on these items can get stuck in a dog's intestines, causing severe vomiting and possibly requiring surgery. Also, keep all jewelry and hair ties in a drawer or case that your dog can't access. Backyard. Ideally, you should enclose your backyard to keep your dog from running away and to prevent other animals from entering your property. However, even though a fence stops her from escaping from the yard, that doesn't mean there aren't dangers in the yard itself. Along with toxic shrubbery and plants, your dog might consume acorns, palm nuts, sticks, and even rocks that she could choke on. Cocoa mulch, fertilizer, and pesticides can also be very harmful. Clear the yard of any such potential dangers, if possible, and always keep an eye on your dog when she's out there. Health insurance for your dog. Just as in the people world, dogs' medical needs will vary throughout their lives. There will be times when your dog becomes injured or sick, and you'll have to weigh which course of action to take. It's a lot easier to make the decision that's best for your dog without having to worry about the cost. That's where health insurance comes into play. Health insurance plans can help protect you in case, for example, your dog swallows a small toy or is hit by a car and needs immediate medical care. Such situations might require x-rays, ultrasound, surgery, and/or medication, which can rack up a bill that's $1,000 or higher. However, just like human health insurance, pet health insurance companies vary greatly in what they cover and how much they'll cover, deductibles, and various other restrictions. The key is to do your homework and, with the help of your vet, weigh the pros and cons of various plans. Trupanion, ASPCA, and Healthy Paws are popular ones. The website petinsurancereview.com offers good comparisons of most companies. Just remember that if you're going to get pet health insurance, the sooner the better. The older your dog is, the more likely pre-existing conditions won't be covered. If you don't want to get pet insurance but are worried about affording unexpected medical issues, at least start a savings account for your pet. Add a certain amount to it every month, say $25, and don't use it for anything but major bills. Regular checkups and vaccinations should be calculated in your overall budget. That way, in case the unthinkable happens to your dog, you can focus on helping her get the medical care she needs without the stress of figuring out how you're going to pay for it. Procedures your dog might have before she comes home. Of course, you're planning on taking your new dog to the vet as soon as she comes home, but your pet might have been poked and prodded and even undergone surgery before she arrives. Some of these procedures are essential for your dog's health and well-being. Others are unnecessary and potentially painful for her. Here's a breakdown. Vaccinations. It's important that dogs are vaccinated against a whole host of viruses such as rabies, distemper, and parvovirus. Normally, the first combination vaccine is given at 6 or 7 weeks of age before a puppy comes home. When you pick up your dog, make sure you get a proof of vaccination document to bring to your first vet visit. For more on vaccinations, see Chapter 8. microchips. A microchip can save your dog's life. Each year, out of the millions of dogs who go missing, most are never reunited with their families. What's worse, many whom are found are sent to shelters and possibly euthanized. A microchip can make this less likely. A vet will inject the microchip, a permanent identification chip about the size of a grain of rice, between your dog's shoulder blades. This has no known side effects. Once your dog is microchipped, your next step is to register with the microchip company. Home Again and Microchip ID Systems are two common examples. It's simple. You just provide your name and the contact information and pay a minimal fee. That information remains in a national database. Then, if your dog ever goes missing and is found by someone, a person at a vet's office or shelter can read the chip with a scanner and return her to you. If your new dog hasn't been microchipped before you pick her up, you can ask your vet to do so. Just remember that if you ever move or change your phone number, you need to contact your pet's microchip company to update that information. Deworming. Most puppies, regardless of where they come from, pick up parasites such as roundworms, tapeworms, hookworms, and whipworms from their mother while in utero or from nursing. This is normal, but it needs to be addressed, as these parasites can give your dog anemia, bloating, diarrhea, and other gastrointestinal problems. A dog can also spread some of these parasites to humans. Usually, when a puppy is around 2 weeks, a vet will squirt a deworming liquid into her mouth that will likely kill any parasites. Your dog will need follow-up treatments again every 2 weeks until she is 2 or 3 months old. Tail docking and ear cropping. Tail docking is the intentional removal of part of an animal's tail. Ear cropping is the removal and shaping of an animal's ear flap so that it stands erect. The American Veterinary Medical Association opposes these procedures when done solely for cosmetic purposes and encourages the elimination of ear cropping and tail docking from breed standards. Tail docking is typically done a few days after birth without anesthesia, especially for certain breeds such as Spaniels and Terriers. The tails are usually cut with surgical scissors and the skin around it is stitched up. This procedure is painful and can affect how a puppy perceives pain for the rest of her life. Ear cropping is usually done on dogs between 6 to 12 weeks of age under general anesthesia. The dog's ears are cut so they point straight up, then stitched. Think of breeds such as Dobermans, Schnauzers, Great Danes, and Pit Bulls. These procedures are illegal in many countries, but still performed in the United States. You may not have any say in whether or not your puppy's tail is docked or her ears are cropped. By the time you find her, the damage may have already been done. However, if you do have a choice, I strongly advise against these unnecessary procedures. Dew claw removal. Some dogs are born with an extra toe up around the ankle called a dew claw. Think of it like a human's thumb, though it serves no real purpose. Unlike tail docking and ear cropping, there are some medical reasons a person might want to have their puppy's dew claws removed. Dew claws can get caught on fences or carpets, become irritated while digging, or a dog can bump them into surfaces when she runs around in the room. Breeders often have dew claws removed when the puppy is a few days old. You can have your vet remove them later, but the earlier, the better. Ask Zach. Bringing home a new dog. What's the earliest age I can safely bring home my new pet? No earlier than 8 weeks. Sooner than that, and you may be asking for trouble. Many states have instituted puppy sale laws that dictate that puppies can't be sold before that time. Up until then, a puppy still needs her mother's care. Puppies separated too early from their mother and litter mates are missing out on some key socialization skills that close kinship can teach best. Also, a puppy's digestive tract is still developing, and if you bring her home too early, she may not be ready to consume solid food. Lastly, keep in mind that the younger the puppy, the longer it might take to house train her. She simply won't be able to physically hold it in. Choosing a name. My husband wants to name our dog Betty, but I have my heart set on Snuggles. How do we decide the best name for our dog? Consider including all family members in on this fun decision. Put a lot of thought into it. After all, you'll be saying your dog's name dozens of times each day. You might have heard that a dog can get confused easily if her name rhymes with certain words like sit, come, or down. As you'll learn by listening to this book, dogs are smart and very capable of discerning the difference. Other people might say that the name should be short, while some professionals advise against human names because this may anthropomorphize your dog. These opinions are far too common in the dog world, and they're just not true. Of course, use your best judgment. A name like Snuffleupagus is quite a mouthful, while one like Butthead is crass and shows no respect for a dog. Choose a name that's cool, fun, majestic, sentimental, or just something you love that fits your awesome new pet. Preparing the family. My family and I are so excited that our new pet is coming home next week. Is there anything I can do to get all of us ready for her arrival? When a dog first comes home, her world will seem upside down. She'll feel a lot more comfortable if you seem to have everything in order. Now's the time to lay out some ground rules and make sure everyone in your household is on the same page. There is a direct correlation between how consistent you are and the results you can expect. If you, your spouse, children, roommate, and anyone else who will have a lot of contact with your dog aren't consistent, your pet will figure out whom to listen to and whom to ignore. Some things to consider. Always keep your dog's safety in mind. If you have a puppy or small dog, teach your children never to leave her on a couch or bed where she can fall off and severely hurt herself. Also, allow young children to hold her only while they're sitting. Never leave a dog unattended with a small child. Remind everyone in the family that anything the dog can reach is something she'll potentially chew on. For instance, if the kids come home from school and throw their backpacks on the floor, the dog might sniff out their leftover lunch or any other edibles. Also explain to them that not only is their pet capable of destroying their possessions, such as figurines and stuffed animals, but she can also choke on them. You can't expect her to be able to differentiate between her toys and theirs at first. Decide who in your family will be the dog's main trainer. Then, as that person learns the individual nature of the family dog and how to effectively interact with her, she can then teach the rest of the family how to do the same. That way, the dog has a primary teacher and the rest of the family members will be on the same page. Explain to children that the dog will need a little time to adjust to her new environment. Of course, everyone will have plenty of time to play with their new pet, but they should also understand up front that she'll need some alone time too. Always make sure the kids are not too rough with your dog. Choosing a vet. There are about a dozen veterinarians in my area. How do I know who's the right one for me and my dog? It's important to establish a relationship with a vet before your dog comes home. For one, you don't want to search desperately for a vet and make a hasty decision because your dog is in dire need of medical attention. Also, even if your new dog was checked by a vet at the place where you found her, you'll still want to have a medical professional you trust make sure your pet is healthy within 48 hours of bringing her home. Dogs, especially ones from shelters and puppy stores, often come home with minor illnesses due to immature immune systems and the fact that they could have caught an illness from one of many of the other animals they lived with. If your dog has a cough, for instance, the vet can make sure that she gets the antibiotics she needs before it turns into pneumonia. Or if she has a little eye infection, a vet can treat it before the infection becomes much worse. A vet can also let you know whether or not your new dog has any potentially life-threatening health issues that might require more time and money than you're able to provide. It's always best to discover such problems as soon as possible so that you can make the difficult decision of returning the dog if need be. To find a vet, ask friends and family who have dogs for their recommendations. Some people even check out reviews on sites like Yelp.com or Angie'sList.com. If the clinic or hospital is accredited by the American Animal Hospital Association, that's a good sign that it's operating at a high level of care. Though keep in mind that many outstanding practices are not accredited. Once you have a few options on the table, drop by the vet's office to determine which one is Dr. Right. Here's what to look for. Make sure the facilities are clean and that the receptionists, assistants, and other employees on staff are helpful and friendly. How do they treat the clients on the phone? Are they warm and welcoming to the animals that come in? Find out how many vets are on staff. If it's a large practice, ask if your dog will see the same doctor every time. Sometimes having multiple vets on staff is a benefit because they each have a different area of expertise. If it's a smaller practice, ask who will cover for the vet if he's on vacation or out of the office. Ask about office hours and how they handle emergencies. Will you have to go to another clinic if, say, your dog needs medical attention at 3 a.m.? Who will monitor your pet if she needs to stay overnight? Will the vet return phone calls directly? And if so, when? What kinds of services does she offer, and will she refer you to a specialist if need be? Find out about the vet's education. The vet should have received a veterinary medical degree from a school accredited by the American Veterinary Medical Association. He should also have plenty of experience, particularly with your dog's breed. Consider location. How far are you willing to drive for regular checkups? What about for emergencies? Inquire about which forms of payment the vet practice will accept. Keep in mind that most practices will not accept insurance. That is, they won't bill the insurance company on your behalf, as most human health care providers will. However, they'll help you fill out the claims so that the insurance company can reimburse you. Make an appointment with the vet and ask her any questions you might have about preparing for your dog's arrival. Does she seem knowledgeable? Does she communicate in a clear manner? Does she take the time to answer your questions? Are you happy with her demeanor? And do you agree with her overall philosophies about raising dogs? If you or your dog don't click with a vet for any reason at any point, you can always look for another one. When you work all day. My job is from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and I know I can't leave my dog for that long. What are my options during the work week? Ideally, puppies under 6 months should not be left alone for more than 4 hours. They can't control their bladders and bowels for much longer than that. Also, dogs need exercise, and they're very social creatures. They can suffer from separation anxiety if they are left alone too long. If you work all day and can't make it home during your lunch break, you'll have to make arrangements. Here are some options. Enlist help. Ask a trustworthy neighbor, friend, or family member to stop by your house once or twice a day to walk your dog, feed her if necessary, and give her a little love. Sign up for doggy daycare. This can be a great long-term option, though keep in mind that most places won't take puppies until they've had all of their shots and until they're spayed or neutered. Doggy daycare facilities run the gamut. Some of them are cage-free, others aren't. Some are indoors only, others have a yard. Some are in people's homes, others are in a separate facility. When you're trying to find a daycare center, ask about hours, pricing, whether or not they separate the puppies from the bigger dogs, how many dogs they'll accept at one time, what their feeding, walking schedule is, which activities they offer, if and how they discipline dogs, and what safety procedures are in place. Also, inquire about what happens in case your dog gets sick or injured. Hire a dog walker. Ask your vet or friends with dogs if they have a dog walker they'd recommend. Most importantly, choose one that comes with good reviews from other clients. Always ask a potential dog walker for 2 or 3 references and call them. When interviewing a prospect, ask how many dogs she'll walk at one time and how long she'll walk yours, if she knows basic animal first aid, and how many years of experience she has. Ask about her training methods and make sure she uses only positive techniques when dealing with any unwanted behavior during walks, such as leash pulling. She should also be fully insured and bonded. Join her for the first walk and watch how she interacts with your dog. If you don't like what you're seeing, or if she insists on using choke chains or prong collars, continue your search. Have a contingency plan. If you're in a pinch and can't arrange to have someone care for your dog while you're out of the house all day, then don't crate her. She won't be able to hold it in, and she'll wind up going potty in her sleeping area. Plus, that's way too long for a dog to be in a crate. Instead, set up a puppy-proofed enclosed area where you can also include toys, food, and water bowls, a place for your dog to sleep, which can be her crate, and even a pad for her to relieve herself on. If your dog is likely to chew up the pads, you may just need to tolerate the potty accidents in these limited instances. Pool fence. My kids are finally old enough that we no longer need a pool fence. Should I leave it up for my new dog? A pool fence could save your dog's life. If your dog slips away from your supervision, all it takes is 1 minute for her to fall in the pool and drown. Puppies who tend to be extra curious about new things and don't know any better are among the most susceptible. If you already have a pool fence in place, leave it up until you're certain that your dog not only can swim, some dogs, such as bulldogs, cannot, but also knows how to get out of the pool. Even if your dog can dog paddle, if she doesn't know how to climb out, she'll eventually drown when she gets too tired. If you don't have a fence, consider putting one in. However, if you don't like the idea, you can invest in a motion detector system that will set off an alarm if your dog enters the water. Check the weight minimum on these devices. There's also an alarm called Safety Turtle that you can put on your dog's collar that will go off if it's submerged. At the very least, plan on teaching your dog how to swim when she's around 4 months or older. Also, dedicate the necessary time to teaching her how to quickly get out of the pool in case she falls in. See Chapter 9. However, always remember that when it comes to pool safety, nothing will protect your dog like your supervision. Never take your eyes off of her when she's anywhere near the pool, even if she's an excellent swimmer. Where to put a dog crate? I want to set up my dog's area before she comes home, but I'm not sure where to put her crate. What's the best spot? Dogs are social animals. Generally, they like being in the center of things where they can see and hear what's going on. Your dog should not be locked in a bathroom or stuck alone in the back laundry room on a regular basis. Instead, put her crate where you are frequently present, such as the family room, kitchen, or living room. Remember that crates, especially the plastic airline crates, are portable. So, for instance, you can always move yours to the home office while you're working and then to the kitchen while you're cooking dinner. At night, move the crate into your bedroom if possible. Your dog will take comfort in being close to you, and you'll be able to hear her whimper if she needs to go potty. If it's within your budget, consider getting more than one crate. Chapter 3. Welcome to the family. Steps for a smooth transition. You're finally ready to bring home your new dog for the first time. You're probably elated, but you also may be a little nervous that your dog will now be completely dependent on you. You might be wondering, how am I going to train him? What should I feed him? How do I prevent him from destroying my house? With my busy lifestyle, how can I make sure I give him enough attention? And if you're not thinking these things, you should be. It's easy to get caught up in the excitement of having a new dog, but don't forget the responsibility that comes with it. Don't worry, though. Whether you did your due diligence and carefully picked out the perfect dog for your family, or you got a dog on a whim and feel like you might have bitten off more than you can chew, I'll get you pointed in the right direction from day one. That's not to say it won't take some time for you to get used to having your dog as part of your everyday routine. Likewise, it'll take your dog some time to settle in and get used to his new environment. He'll have no idea what's expected of him, which means you'll need tons of tolerance and patience right now. In other words, things will not go perfectly, and that's perfectly fine. This chapter will help make the transition as smooth as possible. The car ride home. When you pick up your dog on homecoming day, bring another person along with you so that you can focus on your pet while the driver focuses on the road. Since your dog's safety and well-being should always be first priority, the ideal way to transport a dog in a car is with a travel crate, usually made out of durable plastic. If you don't have a crate with you, then sit in the back seat with your pet and hold him on your lap or in the seat next to you. Your dog could have a potty accident or even get car sick on the way home, so protect your car and your clothes by letting him rest on an old sheet or towel. Before the ride, walk your new dog to let him empty his bladder and tire him out a little. If you have a long journey, you'll need to stop about once an hour for potty breaks. An older dog can hold it longer, but I'd still stop hourly to let him out of the car since he might be anxious because of the sudden change in his environment. If your new pet is not fully vaccinated yet, avoid taking him where other dogs frequently visit, such as pet areas at highway rest stops. Instead, get off the beaten path to areas that other dogs are not likely to frequent. Your dog might cry or whine during the car ride, but do not reprimand him in any way. Just focus on comforting him and getting him home safe and sound. Home sweet home. When you arrive home, go slowly. Try to see things from your dog's perspective. A short while ago, he was living in a completely different place under a different set of circumstances. Just like humans, dogs need a little time to adjust. You can let yours sniff around the front yard, ideally on a leash, if possible. However, if you have a young puppy, he'll likely be very thrown off by a leash at this point, so you can let him scamper around as long as you completely control where he goes. After a few minutes, lead or carry your dog inside the house. I still remember the moment I carried my dog Venus through the front door for the first time and felt the rapid increase in her heart rate. I knew from that second on I'd always do anything I could to take care of her. At first, simply let your dog get acclimated. Everything is new for a puppy. Even if your dog is older, this is the first time he's been in your house. For now, keep your dog in a contained area, such as a kitchen, cordoned off with baby gates so that he can explore. You'll want to introduce him to the rest of the house gradually over the next couple of days. Many people are tempted to let their puppy roam freely around the house, and this can be fine for short periods of time under complete supervision. However, the single biggest mistake that people make with a new dog is giving too much freedom way too early. In fact, controlling your dog's environment for the first 6 months to 1 year of training is essential for best results. You must make this a priority. I'll explain how to do that throughout this chapter and the rest of the book. Making introductions. As far as letting your dog meet your kids and other family pets, introduce just one new variable at a time. This is not the time to invite all your relatives, friends, and neighbors over. Stick with immediate family at first to maintain a calm environment. Also, take it easy. Suddenly letting your dog interact with, say, the resident family cat can spell disaster in some instances. Do not rush this process. Here's how to make all family introductions go smoothly. Introducing children. According to the American Veterinary Medical Association, more than 4.5 million people are bitten by dogs each year, and children are not only the most likely victims, but also most likely to be seriously injured. That's why it's especially important to teach kids to respect a dog's space. A dog can be very thrown off by a little, fast-moving, unpredictable person, so a child should never bother a dog while he's eating or sleeping and should never rush over to a dog. Of course, that's easier said than done when you're dealing with kids. So, it's your responsibility to constantly monitor all interactions between your dog and children. Part of that is helping your child make a good first impression. First, control the situation. You don't want a dog knocking down a toddler, but you don't want a young child pulling on a puppy's tail either. Encourage your child to be gentle with the dog. Most first meetings go better when a child gives a dog a special treat, such as a bit of chicken. This, at a very basic level, tells the dog, "I'm good, and you can trust me." Let the child toss a piece of meat to the dog from a few feet away. Distance is always your friend when getting your dog comfortable in a new situation. Plus, if your dog is the type to grab treats in a rough manner, tossing the food will make things go more smoothly. It's important to let the dog come to your child. Don't let your child smother their new pet and expect the dog to just deal with it. Aim for brief, positive interactions. A good way to start might be by asking your child to sit on the ground and softly pet the dog as soon as the dog has finished the treat and seems comfortable. Another note, even if your child is super excited about her new family member, please remember that this dog is your responsibility. Not that you shouldn't encourage your kids to play with and care for the family dog, but you need to keep your expectations realistic. Kids older than 12 can help train the family pet if they're serious about doing so, but it's not realistic to expect your dog to listen to kids much younger than that. Introducing other family dogs. 30% of people who have dogs actually have two or more in the family. However, if you're bringing a second or third dog home, it's important to take steps to make sure the introduction goes smoothly. If you already have a dog, it's usually a safer bet to set up the introduction in a safe place neither dog identifies as his home. You might want to try somewhere in your neighborhood or a park with both dogs on leash. I'd recommend using a lot of common sense and caution here. First things first, try to make sure both dogs are tired. Since adequately exercised dogs are usually physically satisfied, less likely to react unfavorably, and generally easier to control. Start with the dogs at a distance from one another and see how they react. Whatever you do, don't force the introduction. If they ignore each other initially, that's fine. Let them meet at their own pace, then slowly let them sniff one another and check each other out. Just to be extra careful, at some point you might want to separate them for a bit, give them a breather, and then try again. Dogs respond best when we ease them into new situations. If both dogs seem very friendly and accepting of each other, bring them home and repeat these same steps outside your house at first. Then try taking it indoors. If they still look like they're doing well and there are no red flags such as nipping or one of the dogs is trying to get away or tucking his tail between his legs, then it's okay to take the leashes off. Keep in mind that dogs might play fight, and if a younger dog is jumping all over the place, the older dog might growl a bit to tell him, "Hey, you're the new kid, chill out." This is normal to some extent. If you feel like your dogs are playing extremely roughly, break them up and give them a minute to relax. Think about kids and their siblings. They might start off playing and getting along, but things can quickly escalate into a squabble. This doesn't mean they can't play together. They might just need some time away from each other to cool down. However, if you notice there's consistently a lot of growling, serious altercations are breaking out routinely, or one or both dogs seem particularly aggressive toward each other, limit their access to one another as much as possible. See Chapter 7 for more information on aggression. Introducing the family cat. In popular culture, cats and dogs are often portrayed as mortal enemies. However, I've known plenty of dogs that live in perfect harmony with their feline counterparts. Some even become great friends. You just need to tread lightly when introducing your cat to the new family dog to avoid any problems. When your dog is meeting your cat for the first time, remember that dogs with pent-up energy are less likely to behave well in new situations. So, make sure yours has gotten enough exercise. If you have a young puppy, it's usually easier to introduce him to a cat because, let's face it, most cats are pretty good at outsmarting puppies. For your puppy's sake, make sure your cat's claws are trimmed before any introduction. At first, keep the puppy on a leash so that he can't suddenly rush toward the cat and risk having a negative incident or getting injured. You can also put your cat in a crate, if she's fine being in one, and let the puppy sniff around. Either way, the key is to slowly allow the two animals to become comfortable with one another, a process that can take from a day or two to weeks. Using treats can help your dog create a positive association with cats. Plus, when you have good treats out, most dogs tend to be focused on you during the introduction. However, if you adopted an older, larger dog, especially one with lots of energy, then you have to focus more on keeping the cat safe. Definitely keep them separate at first and introduce them under very controlled circumstances over a period of days to weeks or even, in some cases, months. Ideally, you'll give yourself a head start by choosing a dog who doesn't have a history of aggression toward other animals. Keep your dog on a leash or have the cat behind a gate or in a crate and make sure each introduction is brief and controlled. Once you get a sense that your dog and cat are comfortable around each other, the dog isn't lunging toward the cat and barking, and the cat isn't hissing and in a crouched stance with her ears pinned back, then you can briefly take the dog off leash to see how they'll interact. Be alert. If you see anything in their body language that makes you uneasy, then intervene and take more time to get them acquainted. Remember, most people try to introduce their dog to their family cat too quickly. In a lot of cases, that just won't work. I'd never had a cat until recently when I moved with my three border collies from Atlanta to New Orleans to be with my girlfriend, Bree. Bree has a cat she rescued a few years ago named Angela. Meanwhile, all of my dogs love to focus intensely on small furry animals. While I've taught them to control those impulses over the years and they've never harmed a small animal, they still occasionally love to chase squirrels, chipmunks, and yes, cats, especially when they're on our property. So, when introducing my dogs to their new feline roommate, I knew I needed to be one step ahead of them. Move-in day came, and we made sure that Angela was in another room away from the dogs. The next day, Bree held Angela in front of my dogs, one at a time, to make sure they were aware that a cat was in the house. We took baby steps, like the ones I've explained in this section. In fact, I methodically took about 2 months to slowly integrate Angela into my dogs' lives. Today, I don't even think twice about leaving Angela alone with my dogs. I even catch them playing together from time to time. If you followed all of the advice in this section, and your dog is still apparently trying to attack your cat, see Chapter 7 to learn more about how to handle aggression. Otherwise, supervise heavily during their first interactions and be prepared to separate them if necessary. Regardless of your dog's age, make sure your cat has a safe place by using a cat door, baby gate, or even windowsill that only she can reach. At the very least, put her food, water, and litter box somewhere that only she can access. Also, check that the animals can't directly interact with each other when you're not around. This shouldn't be an issue if you're using a dog crate, gates, or other dog-proofed area. Introducing the leash. Once your dog has been home for a day or two, it's time to introduce the leash to him if you haven't done so already. If you have an older dog, chances are he's already comfortable with a leash on. But if your puppy or dog has not become accustomed to a leash, you may notice the moment he detects any tension on it, he'll temporarily panic. See things from his perspective. He has never been restrained or limited in this way before, and it must be fairly freaky for him. That's why we want to take proactive measures to encourage our dogs to accept this new device. Here's how. 1. First, let your dog smell and explore the leash for a minute. You can hold it or place it on the ground. The point is to let him know there's a new object in the room that he has to learn about. Break out the treats during this phase to help create a positive association with the leash. We want him to know that when the leash comes out, awesome stuff comes with it. 2. Next, hook the leash to your dog's harness or collar while in the living room or familiar environment and let him walk around. Don't pick up the leash or allow any tension at first. The fewer variables we change at a time, the better. Your dog may view the leash as a toy initially, grabbing it and running around. While we correct this behavior down the road, for now, it's more important that the dog is in a pleasant mood. 3. After your dog has spent some time walking around with the leash dragging behind him, encourage him to come to you by making a fun sound using a high-pitched voice. Give him a treat for his compliance. Then pick up the leash very gently for 1 second, still taking care to avoid tension. Drop it back on the ground and give your dog a treat as if to say, "I like that you reacted well to that first test." Do you see what we did there? We went out of our way to start very small and greatly increase the odds of favorable behavior. This theme will be repeated in almost every instance of teaching your dog. It might seem silly to start with a tiny step like this, but if you get good at breaking things down into very small steps, your dog will learn much faster. 4. Gradually increase the time you are holding the leash, rewarding generously along the way, which is always key when introducing new concepts. Don't be discouraged if you encounter some bucking or panic from your dog at some point. That's just your cue to slow down a bit. 5. Finally, work up to holding the leash with one hand and enthusiastically encourage your dog to follow you around the house, enticing him along the way with treats, which you can hold in your other hand. If, at any point, your dog has a burst of energy resulting in tension on the leash and he doesn't panic, celebrate and reward with an extra treat immediately. If he does panic, simply let go of the leash and encourage him to come to you and repeat the drill. It's okay if it takes a few days for your dog to accept the idea of being on leash. Most dogs just need a little time. Introducing the crate. A dog crate can be one of your greatest dog training tools. It keeps your dog confined and safe in instances when you can't watch him. And it can also serve a huge role in house training and preventing destructive behaviors, like chewing up your property. That's why I recommend that you introduce your dog to the crate as soon as possible. A lot of people seem to think that crating a dog is cruel, almost like imprisoning them, and it can be if your crate is too small or your dog is spending too much time in it. However, have you ever noticed that some dogs like to sleep under tables or couches, or that they like to burrow into closets or other dark spaces? Dogs seem to like quiet, cozy nooks, and crates are no exception. If you introduce the crate in a fun way and use it appropriately, it will not only be pleasant for your pet, but also a place where he seeks comfort. So, how do you get started? Putting your dog in the crate and shutting the door is not the way to go. That will likely just scare him and set you back a bit. Those are actually two common mistakes people make when it comes to the crate: physically putting the dog in the crate and closing the door too soon. Here's what to do instead. 1. First, throw a tasty treat into the crate and let your dog follow it willingly. Then let him come out so he sees there's an exit option. Do this a bunch of times. 2. Next, repeat the exercise again, but this time close the door for a few seconds, then immediately let your dog out, give him a treat, and say something like, "Yes, good dog." Over the next few days, gradually increase the amount of time your dog spends in the crate with the door shut while you're present. For whether or not to crate on your puppy's first night at home, I'll explain that in a bit. The slower you go during this process, the better. 3. Once your dog is spending time in the crate while you're present, then try stepping out of the room and listen to how your dog reacts when you're not there. Some whining is normal, and initially you should ignore it. However, address more extreme crying or distress by letting your dog out and taking a break from crate training. try again later. 4. If you adopt an older dog who has a positive association with crates, then you shouldn't have a problem reacclimating him to one. However, some dogs will absolutely hate their crates, especially those who might have had negative experiences with them in the past, such as being left in them for too long, as is often the case with neglectful pet parents and puppy mill dogs. In those cases, look for an alternative, such as a playpen or a puppy-proof bathroom or laundry room. Bedtime. That first magical day can quickly take a turn when it's time for bed. The sweet little pup doesn't seem quite as adorable when he's waking you at 3 a.m. Okay, fine, he's still ridiculously cute, but you could use some shut-eye. You might get lucky and have a dog who sleeps straight through the night. But keep your expectations realistic here, and don't expect a good night's sleep right away. In fact, if you have a puppy, you'll likely have to wake up once or twice to take him outside the first few weeks. Don't worry, as your dog becomes adjusted, you'll both be sleeping fine. However, it can take a few weeks to get your dog on a schedule, so be patient. Most puppies will sleep through the night about 8 hours by the time they're about 12 weeks old, some even sooner. On that first night, your dog may be scared, lonely, and out of sorts. For a puppy, it could be his first time away from his litter mates and mother. Whether you plan on your dog always sleeping in your room or not, it's usually best to start him out there for the first few nights. He's going to need some comfort. Your best bet will be to put a dog crate next to your bed. However, if your dog seems extra wary of the crate at first and you haven't gotten him used to it during the day, he probably won't be too happy in it at night. Another option is to put some old towels or blankets down next to your bed while safely securing his leash to your bed or nightstand. Just make sure there's nothing he can chew and that he can't get tangled. Either way, during the day, give your pet age-appropriate exercise so that he is less stressed and more likely to sleep at bedtime. If your dog cries or whines at night, try ignoring him at first. Don't pick him up right away. Doing so can teach him that whining gets an immediate response of, get out of the crate and play. However, if your dog is really crying for 20 minutes or longer and you've already walked him, then it's fine to take him out and briefly reassure him. Don't do this all the time, just during those first few days when he's adjusting. When it comes to bedtime, a lot of people lose their patience, but please, don't. Having a new dog is like having a new baby in this respect. Be empathetic to what your dog has just gone through. Your job is to make him feel comfortable and safe. I promise your dog and you will sleep through the night before you know it. Socialization. Socialization is one of the most important things you can do for your dog, especially since it can greatly help prevent behavioral problems down the road. The socialization period, a critical time in a dog's life, occurs primarily between 6 and 14 weeks. As the American Veterinary Medical Association explains, during this time, positive experiences with other dogs, people, noises, and activities can reduce the likelihood of fearful behaviors such as aggression and phobias later in the dog's life. Dogs who aren't properly socialized are more inclined to develop behavioral issues, which, in turn, wind up being the number one reason dogs are relinquished to shelters. The key is to expose your dog to many different types of people, animals, places, sounds, and experiences, especially during those critical weeks. Continue doing so throughout your dog's entire first year. Whenever possible, bring your pet with you when you're out and about. Praise him lavishly whenever he's in a new situation or around a new type of animal or person. A few bits of meat or other treat can't hurt either. Doing so will help teach him tolerance. If you've adopted an older dog, don't worry. I've seen that dogs can benefit from socialization at any age. However, it can take more time and patience on your part. In some cases, if your dog has had very limited socialization and has deeply ingrained undesirable behaviors because of it, there are no quick fixes. It can take several months, even years, to see dramatic improvement on these issues. So focus on steady progress over time. However, if your dog ever shows aggressive behavior, such as baring teeth or a willingness to attack, immediately remove your dog from the associated situations, animals, or people, and see Chapter 7 for more information on aggression. Overall, when exposing your dog to new animals, people, or experiences, it's crucial to create a positive association. Here's how to do that. Other dogs. We have to teach our pets that they're not the only dogs on the block. They need to become comfortable with other dogs of all shapes and sizes so that they're not fearful, aggressive, or both when they encounter them throughout their lives. Many people make the false assumption that because their dog gets along with their neighbor's dog and other dogs in the family, this is sufficient socialization. Consider this from a human perspective. You may get along with your best friend, siblings, and parents, but that does not mean you're going to get along with all other people. You've got to work on that. Think about it. If those were the only people you hung out with, you'd probably act very differently when you encountered strangers. It's crucial to focus on socializing your dog with other dogs who you know are friendly. The last thing you want is for your dog to encounter another dog who lunges at him or tries to bite him. So, if you meet a person with a dog you'd like yours to meet, ask how that dog interacts with others. If the person is hesitant or says anything other than he loves other dogs, politely move on. Rule out potentially bad experiences as often as you can. There are plenty of other dogs for yours to interact with. This is not the time to take your dog to a dog park and let him run free. For one, he can easily encounter a not-so-friendly dog and wind up having a negative experience. This is extremely common at dog parks. Also, if your dog is a puppy, you need to make sure he's around only healthy dogs who are vaccinated so he doesn't catch a serious illness. During introductions to other dogs, follow the same guidelines I outlined earlier in this chapter for when you introduce your new pet to the resident family dog. Watch for body language. If the dogs are sniffing each other and wagging their tails, then there's a good chance they want to play. Also, if one or both dogs does the play bow, crouching down on their front legs, butt up in the air, a universal dog invitation to play, that's usually a sure sign that things are going well. However, if you notice any excessive growling, snapping, or if either dog has his tail between his legs and seems fearful or aggressive in any way, find another dog for yours to socialize with. People. It's important to expose your dog to people of various ages, sizes, and races, as well as to people who look different in any way, ranging from a person in uniform, such as a mailman, to a person with a mustache or one who uses a walker or wheelchair. At a distance, so as not to alarm your dog, try putting on a big hat and sunglasses and popping open your umbrella. These are all things that he might find disturbing if he's not accustomed to them. Definitely don't forget to let your dog meet plenty of men. Dogs sometimes find men intimidating due to their large statures and deep voices. Recently, I worked with a dog named Millie, short for Millimeter, a rescue who was found as a stray on the roadside. Whenever she met a new man, she became fearful, barked incessantly, and wouldn't go near him. While Millie may have had a bad experience with men in the past, the most likely explanation of her behavior was a simple lack of socialization with men. So my goal at that first training session was to communicate to her that she could trust me. After a few hours with her, she went from being standoffish and completely wary of me to letting me pet her and even play with her. Of course, that successful session didn't mean that Millie would now be okay with all men or even me on future visits. It can take weeks to many months for a dog to generalize like that. However, it was a start. Help ensure that your pet will have a positive experience by picking people who will handle him gently. You should be particularly cautious around children who can be unintentionally rough. Whenever you are socializing your dog, bring good treats with you and encourage other people to give them to your dog. Assuming your dog is reacting well, ask others to softly pet him, preferably under the chin, not on top of the head. This helps communicate to him that people should not be met with fear. Life experiences. Along with socializing your dog with other animals and with people, it's important to make him comfortable in various scenarios, ranging from driving in the car and hearing sirens to encountering a hairdryer, staircases, a vacuum cleaner, or even popcorn popping in the microwave. Let him see people riding bikes, construction workers, and lawnmowers. The more experiences, sights, and sounds, the better. The key is to go slowly and to break down such new experiences into little steps, especially if your dog seems reluctant. For instance, with a vacuum cleaner, first let your dog sniff it, while it's off, of course. Then turn it on for 1 second just to show your dog that it makes a noise. If all goes well, Gradually increase the time you keep the vacuum on and take a step back if your dog ever seems frightened at all. Give your dog a treat and praise every step of the way. Ask Zach. Adjusting to a new home. My puppy just came home a few days ago and he seems a little droopy. Is it possible he's stressed out or sad from leaving his mother and littermates? Put yourself in your dog's place. He's in a completely new environment, no longer with his mother and littermates, and surrounded by humans he doesn't know. Of course he might be a little out of sorts. It's extremely common for a new dog, regardless of age, to be more mellow or subdued at first, and then to start to come out of his shell a bit over the first few days. However, if after some time your dog still hasn't seemed to adjust, take him to the vet to make sure there's no underlying medical condition that's contributing to his behavior. Sleeping in your bed. Is it okay to let my dog sleep in my bed with me? This is a very personal decision. Some people never want their dogs in their beds. Others wouldn't have it any other way. There's no right or wrong answer. It's up to you. If you've just brought your dog home, I'd wait until he's older and has some training under his belt before letting him up on the bed. Cleaning an accident off the floor is one thing, but getting the stains and smells off a comforter or mattress is a lot more difficult. However, once your dog is a little older and house-trained, if you want to allow him on the bed, go for it. You may have heard that letting your dog do that will make him view you as an equal and it'll be difficult to train him. There's absolutely no science to back up that idea. Just a few things to keep in mind. If you have allergies, experts recommend keeping your dog out of your bed to keep symptoms at bay. Also, there's a chance you might not get as much shut-eye. According to a survey by the Mayo Clinic Sleep Disorder Center, 53% of people reported that their sleep was disrupted somewhat by their pet every night. On the flip side, there's a reason so many people sleep with their dogs. They provide comfort, protection, and warmth. I love it when my dogs sleep in bed with me. Sure, I don't have as much room, and I have to change my sheets every few days because the dogs shed. To me, it's totally worth it for that extra together time. Feeding your dog. At what point can I switch my dog's food from what he was eating at the breeder's? If possible, wait a few days or weeks before switching to a new food. Your dog has enough changes to deal with right now. However, once you're ready to make the switch, then do so gradually to avoid stomach problems such as diarrhea. For 3 days, fill 1/4 of the bowl with the new food and 3/4 with the old. Then for the next 3 days, the bowl should be split half and half. Then for the next 3 days, the bowl should be split half with the new food, half with the old. Lastly, spend a few days serving 3/4 of the new food and 1/4 of the old. In terms of what to feed your dog, see Chapter 8 for a guide to your options. Time to see the vet. I just brought my dog home. Can I give him a few weeks to settle in before rushing him off to a medical visit? Actually, I'd schedule a vet visit within the first 48 hours of bringing him home. First of all, the vet will check for any health problems and will make sure your dog is up to date on his deworming and vaccinations. She will also help answer questions about basic care for your new family member. Taking your new dog on a trip to the vet is also a vital part of socialization. Vet visits are going to be a part of his life, so you want that first one to be as pleasant as possible. One way you can help is by getting your dog used to human touch from day one. Pretend to examine your dog. Gently and carefully massage his paws, rub his belly, lift his tail, touch his ears, and even his gums, so that when the vet does these things, your dog is already used to it. You might also bring along some treats on the first few visits. Also make sure that your dog has gotten exercise before the visit so that he's burned off some energy and is more likely to handle the new situation well. Of course, it's important to choose the right vet. See Chapter 2. Socialization and vaccinations. I know I'm supposed to start socializing my puppy, but how do I do that if he hasn't had all of his vaccinations yet? As I've explained, socialization is crucial for dogs, especially young puppies. However, your dog won't receive his last vaccination dose until 16 weeks, and many experts advise against letting puppies near other dogs because of the risk of various contagious illnesses. For that reason, you'll need to avoid other dogs unless you know they've been vaccinated. So, what should you do? The good news is that you will find plenty of dogs you can socialize with. Ask friends, family, or neighbors who have vaccinated, dog-friendly dogs if you can come over for a play date. And one of the best ways to socialize a new puppy is by enrolling in a puppy class. There's some controversy about this. While some experts say that no dogs under the age of 16 weeks should attend puppy classes because they haven't been fully vaccinated, many others say it's far more important that the dog is socialized. The American Veterinary Society of Animal Behavior says dogs as young as 7 to 8 weeks can start puppy classes as long as they've had their first set of shots at least 1 week before the class starts and a first deworming. People should also keep their pets up to date with vaccines throughout the class. Also, a study in the Journal of the American Animal Hospital Association found that puppies who had at least one set of shots but weren't yet fully vaccinated were at no greater risk of a parvovirus infection, a highly contagious viral illness common among dogs. After attending socialization classes, then vaccinated puppies who didn't attend those classes. That said, most dog trainers should require proof of vaccinations before allowing puppies to attend their classes. First bath. I just picked up my 10-week-old puppy from the shelter, and he's filthy. Is he too young to be bathed? You probably want to smother your new dog with kisses, but not if he's covered in urine and feces. In general, most dogs won't need baths until they're 3 months old or older, but if yours is dirty, you can certainly bathe him. However, it's important to know how to do it right. Check out Chapter 8 for a complete section on grooming and bathing your dog. Also, don't get into the habit of bathing your dog too often, as doing so can strip natural oils from his fur and skin. Holding a dog. My young son loves picking up our new pet, but I want to make sure he does it correctly. What should I tell him? It's very important that you and everyone else in your household learn how to pick up your dog properly. Place one hand or arm under his chest and use your other hand or arm to support his hind legs and backside. Never try to carry him by his paws or by the scruff of his neck. This can be very unpleasant or even painful and can make your dog fear being held. Fearfulness. I've been socializing my puppy, but he still seems afraid of every noise, every person, and every dog he encounters. Is this normal, and what should I do? Yes, this is normal for puppies. Puppies are taking in a massive amount of new information, and there are going to be many things that don't make sense to them. Address these situations much as you would with a toddler, with lots of patience and understanding. When you expose your dog to a new animal, person, or situation, if he seems hesitant at first, back away from the situation, give him a second to adjust, and try again when he settles down. However, if he seems really nervous or frightened, don't insist that he just deal with it. Instead, save that socialization lesson for another time. Remember, baby steps work best in these situations. If your dog is still fearful as he gets older, you can help him to some extent, but expect small amounts of progress at a time. First, identify when your dog is likely to become fearful. Preempt these moments by doing what you can to distract your dog and get him into a happy mood. For example, if you know a garbage truck is approaching outside and your dog is likely to be distressed by the noise, try getting him to play with you by enticing him with his favorite toy before the truck even gets in front of your house. If your dog is scared of thunderstorms, the key is to intercede before the thunder occurs. Use the lightning flash as a cue that it's time to distract your dog with, say, a game of tug-of-war or a good treat. If your dog's anxiety is very high, you may need to reassure him by petting him softly. Act normal and understanding, but don't behave in a frantic way that your dog could potentially interpret as uncertainty. Just be cool. In the case of being fearful of people, encourage strangers to give your dog good treats or, if he's uncomfortable with being approached, to toss them near your dog. The treats get your dog's mind off what's making him nervous and onto something he likes. This is how you begin to gain momentum. Finally, know that not every issue is 100% curable. Some dogs may remain timid in certain situations for the rest of their lives. Remember, dogs are living beings, and it's perfectly normal for them to sometimes feel afraid, just as we do. Although my dog Venus is not as afraid of thunderstorms as she used to be, she's still pretty scared, just as I've never gotten over my own fear of heights. However, if your dog seems excessively fearful, talk to your vet about other strategies or interventions that might help. Also, if your dog's fear seems to manifest as growling, snapping, or other forms of aggression, See Chapter 7 to learn more about how to handle this serious situation.